Hello and welcome to this week's Max 40 Pod, sponsored by Conister Bank. For the 29th episode of the season, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
Are joined by referees Anthony Page and James Cherry. Welcome along, chaps. Thanks for coming in on this glorious afternoon for once. Makes a difference, Dave, not to be sat here with water hammering against the window.
Yeah, we do like the sound effects sometimes, but not this week.
Yeah. First of all, I apologise. We should apologise. There was no podcast last week. I'm sure no one noticed, really.
But no, probably not.
Only Tim Collis. There was a couple of worried DMs from him, wasn't
he? He's turned into our number one fan after the last few weeks, hasn't he?
So. Yeah, it's because we keep talking about his goal that never was.
Never was, and he got a cake, didn't he?
We were guestless again, weren't we?
Yes, it was just one of those things. The guys that we were hoping to come in just couldn't make it.
Russian! they let us down. But there you go, it's one of those things. So lads, thanks for coming in. Well, this is, you know, Podcast Towers. I'm sure it sounds more illustrious on the listening.
Very, very glamorous.
Yes, yes.
We've got some biscuits.
Rich tea and a pint of water.
There you go. Right, I'll take the broken one. And this is, Rick Dyche was kicking off the other week. Well, actually, I forgot about this, didn't I? Because he said we don't get chocolate biscuits for the refs. Now, this was only because these were on for two for a pound in the curry today.
Okay, I'll give you it's two for a pound, but really, rich tea.
Do you not like them, James?
No.
Not in the commissioner's boardroom next week, no?
We don't have biscuits in the commissioner's boardroom.
No. Don't you?
Mint Imperials.
Oh, Mint Imperials? Well, I was saying today, we should have perhaps done ice creams, but then I thought by the time I got them back down from the shop, they'd probably be melted.
And you'd hear us just slurping them, it's not
Plus, James, you've got to hear them,
James and I are athletes, so we don't
Right, we've got you in today, lads, to discuss your forthcoming trip to the Everton Academy to ref some under-14s, under-12s and under-10s games against Nottingham Forest next weekend. James, you want to sort of talk us through how this came about?
Yeah, it came about after a trip I undertook last July to Paris to a World Youth Tournament. One of the guys who was on the organising committee, a guy called Steve Brand, is part of the Liverpool FA. And it was after the tournament that Scott was talking to him and got involved with Gordon, who is also part of the Liverpool FA. I think he's actually the referee development officer. And it came in discussion. Gordon came over, had further chat, and it snowballed from there, basically. Every month there is a fifth weekend. We're now going to get an opportunity to go to Everton and referee
a
set of games. Yeah. What happens is every week, five referees from the English FA development group up there in the Northwest go to Finch Farm and referees these games. With there being a fifth week every, I think there's 3 months of this year.
Yeah.
So there is a spare week, and Scott negotiated for us guys to go.
That's fantastic.
And these aren't just friendly games either, these are actual league fixtures for these guys, so it's a proper fixture as well, isn't it?
I think so, from what I understand, but my philosophy is you just turn up a game, referee it, and go again, you referee it as you would any game.
So, Anthony, do you want to tell us who's joining you two? I know you two are going to do a few
games. I've actually got here the full lineup. So, on the under-14s game, Simon Wasser is the ref, because we've been appointed already, so he's reffing it on the lines. Assistants, myself and Graham Quilliam. Under 12s, Scott Campion is the ref, and then James is refereeing the under 10s game. So it's a good mixture.
And will there be in the future any opportunity to do higher age group levels? Or?
We don't know. I think generally that starts, you start going up towards the more what they call the referee development core group, which are guys who've got a lot more potential, and actually. You're actually looking at guys who are between 18 and 24 in that group.
Right.
Who then the FA will excel to go up into.
They're still in that age group, aren't they? I'll
be out of it by June, sadly.
Yeah.
But it's guys who are basically, they'll excel into the conference leagues and then up into select groups one and two.
Right.
So it's those sort of guys that will do them sort of games. Because we've also got another group of guys going away, I think it's July, August, to UDAM, which is a tournament in Sheffield. And those guys who are going there will be refereeing the under 14s, 16s and 18s of certain teams. Benfica, Everton, Liverpool, those sort of teams go.
Good standard then.
I think James Turpin, Matty Shaw are going to those. I don't know who else is going to them.
I think for me, I think well, for the refs generally on the island, I think any opportunity you get to referee off island,
yeah,
it's probably no different than for the players as well when they get the chance, whether it's playing for the Isle of Man or Isle of Man, and it's a change of scenery, isn't it? It's a different, you know, going. Even though I am a massive Liverpool fan, the fact the games are Everton's training ground, I think it'll be the setup you would imagine will be brilliant. Mm. And any opportunity we get where we can go and just different teams, you get, you know, you do the same teams over here, the same games, you see the same players, and it's great, don't get me wrong, you know, that's why we do it every weekend, but it's just something a bit different, isn't it? It's a bit,
well, other than that, what do you think the main differences will be? I mean, standard wise, or obviously,
I think I'm not going to name any names, but some of the clubs where you go and referee over here. I think the worst. I think Castletown used to be.
Yeah.
I remember doing a game there before, they spent money on it. Midweek game as we were going into the start of the season and going back when it was a bit dark. There was not even a light bulb in your changing room. You know, the facilities you'd like to think would be better. I mean, to be fair, I think the pitches over here, the guys do a brilliant job in terms of
it's. I think the worst pitch on the island now. Yeah. It's lumpy, bumpy.
You're not going to be popular when you go up there now.
Well, it's
I'm being very careful. Yeah.
I've just been honest. I mean, that's Department of Education pitch. Though,
yeah.
And it's just lumpy, bumpy, and it's nasty pitch. But that's what they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm involved through my son in junior football a little bit as well. I help coach up at Corinthians. So I'll be interested to see how it compares. He plays under 10s over here, so I'll be... While it's a different age group I'm involved with, I'll be interested to see how the standard compares, and even just kind of how many parents turn up. And I've done some junior refereeing, not here when I used to live in Guernsey, and actually it's probably my worst experience as a referee in junior football.
Yeah,
I think the perception is, you know, when I say to people, oh, I'm a football referee, they're like, oh, don't you get loads of abuse? Don't you like? I'm like, well, occasionally, but I enjoy it. My worst experience as a referee, as I say, was doing like under 16s, under 14s football in Guernsey. Not the players.
The parents.
The parents.
I've had the total opposite. I mean, the only time in the years I've been refereeing, because every year I've done, since I started, I've done under 16s football for whatever age range. And I've only ever had one game where I've had abuse of parents.
Wow.
In junior football over here. So I think... For all the stick that someone says, oh, it's the parents and all, it's like, no. Mm. It's,
to be fair, actually, I haven't done junior football on the Isle of Man. I haven't done it in Guernsey. I mean, senior over here.
I had it off.
What level once, was that? What,
it was under 16s. Right. It was up at.
So it'd be on a grass pitch, not in.
Well, it was at Bemhege, actually.
Oh, right.
Because that's what the under 16s try to play at the bowl at Bemhege, so at least they can get through the match fixtures as well. Because they, I mean, on a Sunday, they block out the bowl.
Yeah.
From like 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So they get those games on and it's just rammed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all know the struggles of trying to get a 3G pitch or anything over here at the moment.
Yeah.
The bowls ran from 5 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night every night of the week.
Yeah.
So it's.
That's a fantastic facility, isn't it? You know, we've got to make the most of it.
Mm.
Obviously, you're not just going to referee as well, though. I think you've got a recreational trip to Prenton Park, lined up.
We do have a free day on the Saturday because we're going out on to Saturday morning, come back on the Sunday night. So we're only refereeing on the Sunday. So Scott managed to wangle some free tickets, I think. From what I understand, they are free. But,
brilliant, even better.
To Prenton Park against Hartlepool.
Well,
two former league clubs, so that'd be, should be quite a decent crowd for that.
If I remember rightly, last time I looked, if Tranmere either draw or win, they're into the playoffs.
Right.
But on a lighter note, my granddad's happy this week that Accrington Stanley have got promoted.
First time ever, isn't it? I think in the it'll be the third tier of the League One. Isn't
it's it? The highest they've gone.
Yeah.
The highest they've been in the league.
So who are you going to be supporting next week? Are you going to stick with the North West?
The officials, obviously.
Yeah.
I'll be closely watching the referee.
Yeah.
I presume we're sat in the Tranmere end, so we'll have to go with Tranmere, won't we?
I don't know where we sat. In the bar.
We're not drinking, we're on it.
Only pints of water.
Do you find, especially, it was a good question, actually, do you find that since you've become referees, you actually, when you're watching games on the telly or you go to away to watch,
you said you're looking for the official? I don't, I, go out occasionally with some of my mates. We go to the Woody, tends to be our local. We go in there and watch the football. And increasingly now, if something happens in a game, they'll be like, come on, Ann, what do you think?
What would you have given there? Like that.
Haps to me. Haps to me.
And I mean, VAR by sort of by proxy.
Happy vision.
Or if I go and walk, me and my dad have got season tickets at Anfield, and we don't go, obviously I live here, he's down in South of England, but if we do go to games, or something will happen in a game, my dad will be like, what would you have given there? And my dad's got this bugbear about, and he's right, throw-ins. If you watch the Premier League, I reckon 50% of throw-ins in the Premier foul League are foul throws. And it's almost now that...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the elite refs have just sort of A, where they take it from, and B, actually how they do it. They're just kind of like, as long as the ball gets back into play, we'll just, it doesn't, both teams are doing it, just.
Yeah. I mean, going back to foul throws, I was in Paris. I was refereeing a quarter final from under 16s, part of the competition. And I gave 15 foul throws.
Wow. 15?
Hang on. In one half. And I was being assessed by two ex-Premier League lines.
Yeah.
And they absolutely blasted me. Really? And I went, they just said, how many of them would have been not noticed? How many of them would, like, just an inch off? And I'm kind of like, well,
it's still a foul throw. It's the letter of the law, isn't it?
Yeah, that's like... The law says a foul throw. It's like,
I don't reckon I've given 15 foul throws in my entire career.
Well, on the topic of foul throws, now we talked about things. Football, is, as in life, is quite secular. You know, so target men are now back in vogue. You know, you have a focal man in your attack. Especially in Manx football, long throws seem to be very in vogue.
Sean Kelly's Cameron, back.
Sean Kelly.
Yeah.
Now, there has been certain people have mentioned to me about his throwing technique, because apparently his
this
hands...
This is the one who plays up front for Peel?
Yeah, his hand slips slightly behind the ball.
Okay. Oh, he's a marked man now.
Sean, I'm sorry, I probably just... That's Peel's weak, maybe even worse.
It's an impressive throw.
Yeah.
And there's a lad who played... Cause
Corinthians as well.
I was saying, the cup final, there was two of them doing it. A lad for Corinthians.
Sam Kane does it for Geordies. And then Dan Simpson, he does it. And Cam Avery, Brown, he's got a massive throw.
Okay.
It's like Rory, that, it brings it all around, Dave. This is a Tranmere, Dave Chandler, back in the day.
The very first.
Oop.
I was trying to think. John Arnarisa, he used to have a decent football.
Oh, no, you're on about.
Yeah.
I'll next time I do a Peel game, I'll
just watch out. But there's some that is, you know, that has been mentioned to me by more than one person, I should point out.
As long as both feet are on or behind the line and the hands go
it's
behind
more the hands, is it?
The hands. So is he allowed to bring it round the back of the ball?
As long as as long as your hands are.
I think it's hard to describe in a podcast, but one hand is sort of seemingly on the left hand side of the ball, mm-hmm. or the right, and the other hand slips behind, and it's more of a.
He's putting a spin on it.
Okay.
Is that legal?
I'd have to see it. That we'd have to check my politician's answer.
Yeah.
I'd have to watch it. He does get some distance.
Well, talking of Peel, I've got them on Tuesday.
Well, there you go, James. We can have a look.
Yeah. If you hear a 15-pound throw, that's what I'm about.
Yeah.
James is in the middle.
No, but there's already been someone's been done for match fixing today, for what I've been seeing.
From the Isle of Man?
No, in the
this
UK.
Wasn't on the sheet.
Yeah, that was Lincoln City. He's got 6 years.
6 year ban, yeah.
Booking bets, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Insinuating yellow cards.
Yeah.
So we talked about foul throws in the Premier League. Cross. Yeah. Is there anything over here that you think needs sort of clamping down, or is there anything
that's now sort of just let?
That's a good question. I think it doesn't bother me at all, but I think it's just the world we live in. I guess social media. I think at the end of the day, it's an amateur game, and as I was saying before we came on air, none of us. I know it's the same for the players as well, but none of us are professionals. We do this. It's not for the money. Yeah, we get a match fee out, but I don't. Speaking personally now. I don't referee for the money. I referee because I packed in playing because of my knees, and I wanted to stay involved in football. I do a little bit of kids coaching, but I thought Saturday afternoon to me, it's doing football, so I enjoy doing refereeing, and I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I think increasingly now, what happens is refs like players. We do, you know, I'll come off a game and think that wasn't my best game. Do you know something? I'll think, oh, why did I miss that? But what happens is now players go onto social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and it's some of it is pretty horrific, some of the stuff they're saying about refs. And we're struggling for refs, so we're short of refs. You know what, there's games now where it's kind of, we should have assistants, we don't. lads are refereeing who haven't ref for a long time, who are kind of having to put the kit back on and do games. Yeah. We need to be recruiting refs, and actually we're running the risk of losing refs because some of them are a bit like, do you know what, I don't need that.
No,
I mean, all right, I've done a game, I didn't do my best, it wasn't my greatest performance, but
everybody's human, aren't they? So
yeah, I would be quite confident that, you know, during a game, the official makes less mistakes than the players. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, kind
of, I mean, the appointments come back from Kevin, who appoints us as the chairman of the referees committee. Came through this morning for this weekend, and there's actually a cup game tomorrow that's only got one assistant because we are that short.
Yeah,
I'm unavailable because I'm doing, I've got other commitments, but just the lack of referees. I mean, we have.
Yeah, James is right. When you take into account as well the fact that we all have lives outside, whether it's work, family, holidays, there are now increasingly games where you're like, blimey, it's kind of bit of the last minute, 2 hours before kickoff, Kevin will be like, your game's being called off, can I now stick you in the middle here? Because we didn't have anyone there.
I mean, back October, November, before we had the massive drought of games where it absolutely piddled down.
Yeah.
We had a fixture list 1 week where there were going to be 5 games called off because there was not enough officials.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, until it actually happens,
people won't
realise. And the only saving grace those weeks were games were called off because of the weather.
Like I say, it genuinely doesn't bother me at all, but we're all different. I'm quite thick-skinned and whatever, and I've never touched wood. I've never actually had any open kind of criticism. You watch after Saturday, I probably will do. I know everyone's different, so there might be some refs who are a little bit more sensitive or whatever, and it's just... I know lads get... I played myself over here, and I know what it's like. You're passionate about football, and that's how it should be, but I think there's a line where...
They shouldn't cross.
Yeah, my personal bugbear that I think, maybe it's because I'm old fashioned and traditionalist, players not shaking your hand at the end of a game.
Yeah.
Really, and managers.
Yeah.
I won't name them, but there are some who just never.
That is bad to hear, to be honest. And that's
when you're having to chase for your match fee, lads, can I have them? It's not the money, it's just the,
But that's what Deitch, when we asked a similar question to Chris Deitch and John McCann when they were in a couple of weeks ago, and Chris said that would be the one thing he'd change, it would be that match fees were given prior to kickoff. Mm. So then, if there has been a contentious issue, you don't have to then confront
And some clubs are really good, so we want to make Manx football as good as possible by our own little bit. So even things like team sheets, I don't want to be going up to the team manager 5 minutes before kickoff going, I saw him got your team sheet, and he gives me a soggy bit of paper.
I mean, there is a certain club that I've had a few times in the past couple of months, and I've received it on that many various types of paper that isn't an official team sheet, because I've never received on an official team sheet yet from them.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the hell, lads? You've not been emailed from the FA. Just use it and print it off.
Yeah.
It's like 0.2 of a pence to print it off.
I'm sounding negative. Like, I was on the line, as I said, on Tuesday at Peel. Peel are great. Is it Colin?
Colin. Yeah. Legend.
You get the team sheet, you get your money, they come in, they ask you beforehand what do you want at half time, you get a cup of tea at half time. There's a two-way respect there.
Mm.
And the Peel aren't the only club, there's lots of clubs that aren't that. Yeah. It's just a small number that you're like, I might leave 10 minutes ago, I'm still waiting for my match fee.
I think it's those couple or few that ruin it for the rest, that just give it bad names and taint it slightly, where majority of clubs are great.
Yeah,
it's just the way it happens, that's life. A couple ruin it for the many.
Yeah, well, we've mentioned obviously the shortage of referees, but is there another referees course coming up? We could promo that,
I'm not sure at the moment, because Scott stepped down as a referee development, so he's... kindly said he's going to carry on with these two trips he's organised, because there's another group also going to Paris again, where the academy lads are going back on the back of my assessment from when I went, and the UDAN trip and this one.
I'm sure there will be something in the pipeline.
We've all
been given a challenge as referees through the society to try and recruit one other individual
to
referee. So I don't know what you two guys are doing.
Trust me.
See, I could do my match report as we do.
I get your trip to Finch Farm.
Well, if you get there's a app, it's called Ref6, which we've now just done a deal with Apple, so you can get an Apple Watch, but you can actually do all your match report on your phone as you go.
There is.
Heat map the light. Yeah. Wow. So I've just signed up to it. It's about £35 for 12 for a month for 12
months. Let us know as that gets on. Yeah.
Well, I think Matty Shaw's trying it as well, but it's a case of is it going to be a bit fiddly? We don't know.
See, these young refs with all this technology. Yeah. I'm still having a stopwatch. I'm going out of paper. Well,
yeah. I mean, it's.
There's a question about James's watch later, so
I think we may discuss that one later.
So, lads, I suppose it's a question for both of you, actually. We jokingly refer to this as silly season because there's seemingly games every night at the moment. Now, it's tough on some of the players because the likes of Foxdale and Old Boys and Laxey are playing three games a week, maybe more if they're playing in the Junior Cup combination teams as well. It must be tough on you guys because you're probably doing even more games in the week, right?
I mean, I've only had, for this week, I've only down for one game and I've got an under 16s on Sunday afternoon.
Right.
But I was on the line with Steve Darrell on Tuesday, Colby St. George's. And he was saying to me he's got a game every night except for Monday and Friday. Because I spoke to Meps about a month, 6 weeks ago. And he's saying we're playing football every day in some way or form except for Mondays and Fridays.
Right.
So I just thought, what happens if we start all getting injured and dying off? Do you think the clubs are bad for putting teams out? Because they can't. It's just kind of like...
There's probably a core of referees who, like Steve, Neshko's another guy.
Oh, Neshko gets us out of so many messes. And
he's a legend. He'd do a game, he'd do two a day, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's really the happiest referee in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
he's no idea what anyone's saying.
Oh, he does. If someone tells him to go and something off, he knows what they're saying.
He knows the keywords.
That's all he's learned.
He's taking English lessons up the college. So he's getting
good.
Be careful.
He's a very good guy, Nash.
Yeah,
he probably speak better English than me in about 2 years' time.
Very keen as well. But so it is.
It is tough. Yeah. I'm not saying we're any different than the players, but Kevin's good where he will try at midweek games. He tries to point you to games that fit as best they can with you.
Yeah.
You know, I work in Douglas. If it's a 6 o'clock kickoff, I'm lucky in that. In my job, I've got a bit of flexibility, but it's still, you know, you feel like you're rushing and literally you get to the ground, getting your kit on, you start the game, and I struggle a bit sometimes with midweek games, as in my concentration the first 10 minutes, I'm a bit like, who's kicking which way here? And like, the ball goes out, and I'm like, they're going.
Yeah,
because a Saturday game, normally, if it's 2 o'clock kickoff, I'll get there an hour before, do a proper warm up. Talk to the teams, check the kit. I'm not saying you'd still do the kit check, but it's all just rushed and it's kind of. Yeah, but we have to do it. I think.
I mean,
it's so many fixtures.
When I've done midweek games, there's a lot more silly challenges, and people are just kind of like, oh, can we just get over this and put some absolute diabolical challenges in. But they would never do it on a Saturday afternoon.
Right.
It's just because they're tired.
You just want the red cards.
It's happened. I did a game at D&D start of the season, and I think it was against Pulley, and it was just. Dire some of the stuff, and they can't. You could just tell that they've done a full day of work and they're all tired, and it's just kind of like, I'm the same.
Yeah.
Let's just get on with it and get home. And
I don't know what the backlog is, but I was I did a game about a month ago, and Kevin was there because it was Russian and his lad was playing. And I think at that point he said there was something like 230 games behind.
I mean,
I don't know how we'll ever.
Well, I think
what they'll do, whether they'll come to a point where actually they'll say some games that have got nothing.
The dead rubber games.
I
think Meps is on Max Radio tonight talking about backlog fixtures.
Yeah.
Last time I had a quick discussion with him, it was 180.
Okay.
But it fluctuates because you've got games called off this week.
I think, to be fair, of having seen there's been a couple of games called off this week, they seem to be right. It's a walkover then. Peel couldn't feel couldn't feel the team against St Mary's, and it's a home walkover for St John Mary's. Yeah. Maybe if there'd been a bit more flexibility, would have just been put back a week or whatever. Yeah. But now it's right.
I mean, what someone was saying to me, for Laxey, for example, they've got to play two games a week.
Yeah.
till T2 to get the whole fixture, the whole league program going.
Yeah. They're struggling for a combi side. I noticed it the last couple of weeks on their Facebook page. They're struggling to put a full team out. And yeah, I mean,
well, I've got them at Wednesday at Groves Road against St Mary's.
There you go. They have to fill the first team because of availability issues.
Yeah, I know it's the team that they beat Braddon the other week.
A couple of weeks ago, they only had 10 players to start off with.
Going back to people not being able to field teams, I was doing Corinthians v Castown in the Junior Cup. Mike Sandsbury handed me the team sheet to start with and said, right, we've only got 10. Mm. So hang on, we've got someone else who's just turned up, so we've got 11. Then we somehow started only with 10 Castown players. And then after 12 or so minutes, we ended up with 9 because one of them went off with injury. I think from what I've heard, he's cracked a rib possibly.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the way he went down. He landed from a challenge. Yeah.
Well, I saw who else was playing in that game. Patty Quinney.
Did he?
Yeah, he was playing. It was Patty without his glasses on, he's just kind of like, yeah, the ball's about a foot away, mate.
he's a bit like Dudley. He always gets a run out once a season, doesn't he?
Fair play to him to just getting out there and doing it and trying to get the game on.
Because he would bleed, red. Because he's just all about that club.
And it's kind of like when that same morning that Michael couldn't field the team against Royals because they would have been on the next pitch, but they had 7 players in it. So it's kind of like, our referees.
It's hard for the clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and it's trying to get qualified because Braddon pulled out and stuff like that. I think it's, speaking to Mike before that game, lads have lost interest because of such, the season's been so stop-start and there's been big gaps between
the younger players, I guess, have got exams coming on and stuff
that's what Mike alluded to. People, they're just getting their first car, so they're paying them off and stuff like this. So they just go and work.
Yeah. Mm.
They're doing moonlighting and working and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's
and they don't want to play football. Well, they want to play football, but it's a case of, I've got to do this.
Yeah.
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again, Dave, we just need one big dome over the Isle of Man.
Yeah,
we'll make it like a massive centre park. The centre park. That's what we would call it, yeah. I'm sure there's sources of trademark infringements there, but there you go. Right, Twitter questions. We've had a load for you guys. I'm not good. Dean Kinley, thanks for the fishing tweets. This isn't J.R. Hartley, so we're not going to... go into them a bit any further, but we've had a few from Foxy.
Steven, yeah. Well, those that don't know, my entire Manx footballing career was at Union Mills. Mm. I'm proud to say, only ever in the combi.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for it only just being combi?
Funnily enough, there are a number of people who've said I'm a far better referee than I was player. So I don't know whether that is means I'm just not a very good referee, but I was an even worse player.
But he asked that, did you move into refereeing due to your lack of talent as a footballer? And it's quite blunt, I thought.
Yeah. Well, the next question he's asked about who's the angriest, he suggested that it might be Jody Scarfe, I'm not even saying I'm a Mills legend.
Yeah.
Certainly not, but Jody Scarfe, Mills legend. I would say no, actually, probably Stephen Fox is the angriest player I've had to deal with, particularly when he realised he got bad knees, what limited pace he did have has gone completely.
I'm not going to say who the angriest player I've turned off again because I'll probably see them in the next couple of weeks.
Picking someone who retired. So
I can't do that one, I'm afraid.
I think that's good, very safe, James. Foxy, did you see, I think there was a tweet the other week, he's officially now retired from playing.
This is about the fifth time. I've been up to the Mills clubhouse at least 3 times where they've done a retirement presentation. He must have more trophies for retirement from football than he's got for actually winning anything. But no, to be fair, he's a good lad, Fox. And one thing I will quickly say, he's organising again, I think it's the cup final day up at the Mills, this annual event now we have called Dunkey Day, in memory of Duncan. So he does a lot, as much as I've had a bit of a laugh at his expense there, he does do a lot for the Mills still now.
There'll be some legends in that match. There usually is, isn't there? Because they can all come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, in the past I've refed a half, and then Mikey Allison, who's involved with the Mills as well, played cricket for the Mills.
Yeah.
He refs a half, and
he still does try to play cricket.
He's just trying
to use excuses because I'm playing for Mills cricket team this year.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just coming out with all these excuses like he's breaking his nails and stuff.
The funny thing is, when I referee, dare I say, and they're going to slate me for this, when I referee like Combi 2 games, I come off and I think, I'm 42 this summer, but I think, I could still play at this standard. And then I do half a game in a charity match, and the next day my body. The difference between playing and refereeing, obviously as a ref, contrary to popular belief, we do get outside the centre circle, most of us, and cover a bit of ground. It's the physical... As a ref,
you've just gone with most of us there.
But it's the physical. Like, I used to play at the back, so when I play, even in a charity game, you know, going up for headers, going into tackles, the next day I get up out of bed and my whole body aches. I'm like, no, I can't play.
Yeah,
I'll just stick to refereeing.
Foxy also asked, do you discuss with other referees decisions you have made? Now, I think you said there is a WhatsApp group, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there's a referees group chat. Not all the referees are in it, but there's a good few are in it. And I mean, we'll post things in it. For example, there's the ghost goal from Hoffenheim by Leverkusen, and we were like, was that allowed? And we were like, well, from what I read of the final result, and it's just kind of like odd. But you might say if something's happened in a game over here,
what would you guys have done?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, we use Hattie Vision and Gary Waitman Vision and whatever else on our version of VAR. Say, well, what do you think of this decision? Or do you think that was a goal or not? There's some pitches that go up and they're a bit contentious, but it's a case of you can only give what you can see.
It's a game of
angles, and what you see stood five metres away from me could be totally different.
You sound like a young Alan McManus there, James. Right, who's the best player you've ref?
That's a big question. That is a good question.
Assume you're not going to say Stephen Fox, is it?
Absolutely not. Who is the best player you've refereed?
Yeah.
That is a very good question.
I don't know his name, but there was a lad who stood out for me when I was in Paris. Played for a Moroccan team. And he got everywhere. He scored a hat-trick. But then the next minute, he was in defence like 30 seconds later. It was like, what? Where? How have you got all this energy? Because we were playing in like 24, 25 degrees, if not higher at times. And it was kind of like, I'm there sweating my knackers up and he's running around like it's
probably cold.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't know what my answer's probably quite boring. I'd probably pick one of the lads who's... I mean, I've been refereeing, five seasons maybe. And it wouldn't be a name that would come as a surprise. You know, like Frank Jones, I think he's a guy who, every game he does something. A name you mentioned, I think, before... funnily enough, I always remind him that I coached him at the Mills under 14s, and that's where his success started. Sam Kane.
Yeah.
I think he's a very, you know, someone who can play. If you think Sam can play
multiple,
he can play centre forward, left wing, right back. I believe games this year he's played
centre half. Yeah, team of the week. Yeah.
Funnily enough, one of the guys I was refereeing with the other week, Sam had played centre half in his game, and when he saw the team sheet, the ref was like, Sam at centre half. He said he was probably the best player on the pitch.
Yeah.
Daniel Bell at Bale. Yeah. You know, guys, dare I say, when you're on the line, it's a little bit different. You know, you're involved, but you get to see the game a little bit further away. And I think Bell is a lovely footballer. Bell, he tries to play football, you know what I mean? Gets the ball down and play. And just think, who else is there? Jack McVeigh. Harrison. I think it's a shame he, for whatever reason, he's not involved with the Island anymore. Well, at the moment, anyway. I think he's a lad who can play in a few positions. A guy, I guess, the one other name I would mention, probably a bit of a surprise, I was nowhere near as good as him, but Carl Clark.
Right.
I think Carl knows what he's good at and he sticks to it.
He's a very solid, consistent player.
Brilliant in the air. He gets stuck in, wins the ball. You know what you're getting, don't you? So, and then there's some young lads coming through, I think. I'm not just saying this because it's Kevin's son. I think Al Maitland, the Russian, I think he's someone who I think I could see pushing on getting in the Ireland squad. There's a few lads that I've been impressed with Douglas Royals this year. I know they've struggled.
Yeah.
But they're young lads that they've got.
Because you know, half of them play in the under-16s on
Sunday
as well.
They've had, you know, I've done a couple of their games where they've taken a bit of a battering, but their heads don't go down, and you know, they try and play football. It's, you can see what they're trying to do, and I just hope they keep hold of them and they don't end up going elsewhere.
They helped the Ireland under-18s team get through.
Most of that squad, well, quite a few from that squad, were in that team.
Next tweet's in from Nathan Hamilton.
Malou Combi Supremo.
Yeah, this is directed at you, James.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah. I understand why.
Have you got a watch that does the full 90 minutes yet?
The answer is yes. maybe I should have gone to
spec. Have two.
I do have two. I just misread one. That was all.
So how early did you blow up? I'm guessing this is what this is alluding to.
Yeah, what happened was I misread the watch. There was about 7 minutes and 11 seconds left of the game. It was Malou versus Foxdale in the Junior Cup.
Yeah.
It was 2-1. I misread my watch because I only quickly glanced at it and I said to the guys there was 11 minutes left. Or there was 11 left.
Yeah.
I didn't see that there was 7 minutes, 11 seconds. So when I blew up after 93 minutes, they were like, you got another 4 minutes or so to play. And I'm like,
You played the right time. It's just the players thought because, 11 minutes.
The game was the right time. And I mean, I think Anthony will back me up here. When you stop, you will automatically think how much time you stop for anyway. So I knew there was about 3 minutes to add on.
Yeah.
So I looked at my other watch, which counts up. This one counts down. And I played 48 minutes, so I blew up.
I think every ref's had it. Like, I remember the first season I did a game over here, and in fact I was being assessed. I was on my own, and I always ref with two watches, so I have one that I just leave running. I think a lot of refs do this. I leave one that I never, and then the other one if there's a serious injury, where I stop and start.
Start
the second half. The one that I always leave running, I forgot to start.
Yeah.
But I started the other one, and then about 10 minutes in, I stopped it for an injury, and then didn't start it again. So basically, I looked at my watch. I was like, that one's not going. And now there's that one. I have no idea.
Yeah.
How am I...
So what did you do?
Well, I kind of, I thought... Well,
look to the sun.
I've got a bit of time to work this one out. I won't worry about it. And then I left the... Because I thought, well, it's only 10 minutes in the second half. So I kind of guessed, and we maybe played about another 20 minutes. And as the ball was out and the coach came, I just said to the coach, how long do you think we've got left? I'm just checking. Mm. And thankfully, he'd been running a watch, and he was like... 12 minutes. I was like, that's so I started it. I thought, when that gets to 12, I won't say the game, but then no one knew at the end of the year. We're all like, that's fine.
Well, all I can say is, thank God for Johnny Hogg, because no one will ever eclipse what he did.
I'm not going to comment.
No comment.
Moving on.
James Gaffer, Tony Sewell, he says, if I was a ref, I would be dying to use the vanishing phone. Are you both, and should we be using it over here? Have you used it?
Do you know what?
It's shaving foam.
I want to try and keep... Like, on Tuesday night, for the first time, I was on the Peel St John's game. We had the communication set we've got over here, which is... I get why we've got it. And I was on the line. It's the first time I've used it. I didn't actually enjoy using it. To me, it was a distraction, whether it's something you get used to.
Yeah, you do.
I was thinking more about that. The thing on my arm was slipping down. I just didn't feel comfortable wearing it. It'd be the same with the vanishing. It's another bit of kit.
Mm.
I think at our level of football, me personally, I'm quite happy that I can march it back. The lads don't, they might creep forward a little bit, but it's not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I've used the comms kit about 3 or 4 times now. First game I did it was Oncombe v Foxdale down at the stadium. Dietrich was in the middle, I was first line, Jack Malin was second line. And it's such an odd, surreal experience. For the first 10-15 minutes, it's kind of like, what the hell?
Can you not just hear Dietrich heavy breathing?
I could hear that. It was really windy on Tuesday night, so there's a load of wind in it as well.
The occasional Chinese order, a taxi.
I could hear Neshko doing subs on the other side of the pitch, and he was querying. I was like, it's just a bit... And then some of the Peel fans behind me would be asking me something perfectly acceptable, like how long's left ref, or who's coming on or off or whatever. And I couldn't really hear what they were saying. So I think they were thinking, what, is he a bit ignorant? Is he deaf? I was fiddling around with the battery pack on my arm.
That's called selective hearing.
Well, it was slipping down. I was like, in a minute, it's going to slip down the lead. I was just... I'd have much rather just gone out with a flag, like I do most games where I'm an assistant, had eye contact with the ref. And at our level, we can hear each other. So if I'm doing the subs, say tomorrow I'm on the line with Andy Lodge, If I'm doing the subs, I'll just shout, Logie, put my flag up when it works. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It works.
But don't you have the flags?
We've got buzzer flags as well, which are they're kind of a halfway, I guess, between.
Yeah.
But I quite like just having a normal flag and
old school.
Yeah.
Next tweet in from Mifa.
Yes, good tweet this.
It's really good. Want to know what you guys think of the green card that Khenifa brought in for this summer's World Football Cup.
Have you seen this?
I'm guessing this might be a trick question.
This might be, I'm not sure, this might be the cynic in me, because Paddy Power is sponsoring the World Football Cup in London, and it's called the green card, which is also obviously green as their corporate colours. But actually, when I was a bit like you, what's he talking about? So, but then there was a tweet with what it defines. So, if a player shows dissent to you, another player, or a spectator or manager, you can give him this green card.
Yeah.
Or if he dives, or the simulation, or something like that.
It's basically a separate card from sport and behaviour.
Yeah. And then they have to be—they can be taken off. They have to leave the field, but you can bring a sub on.
You can.
Yeah.
If you've not used up all your subs.
So it's almost like, as you say, all supportive behaviour is dissent. It's a way of trying to...
It's sending them off, but your team can have another player come on.
No. One thing I wouldn't be... I'm not sure how that'll work, to be honest with you. I do think... I don't know, sometimes I sway. I am on the fence on like technology and... I do increasingly quite like the idea of a sim bin.
Yeah.
I think for almost having
like rugby.
Like an orange card. So, if... For example, a player dived to try and win a penalty, and it was clearly a dive, I'd stick him in the sin bin for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or if dissent, I know foul and abuse if you give a red, but if it was someone, when the players crowd the referee, you might say to two of them, right, you two, go off into the sin bin.
Mm.
I do think...
That's been trialled anyway by certain counties in the UK.
Wasn't it in Holland as well, isn't it?
I don't know if it was in Holland, but...
That was Van Basten or something. Possibly,
but it's been tried by a couple of counties in the UK. The Isle of Man was asked because MEP said we were asked, and I think we generally muted it. But from what I've heard from guys in the UK is it's working good. Really good. But the way you indicate to someone that they're in the sin bin is you give them a yellow card and then you point to the benches. It's like,
we'd have to maybe bring in an orange card.
I think you need another card.
Is that a yellow card or an orange one?
That's different to in rugby. It was when I was playing over here. If you got sin binned, you had to go and stand behind the opposition at try line, so you couldn't even interact with the bench.
Yeah.
So you couldn't even get. Well, I presume you could get a drink, but you couldn't give a tactical advice or anything like that. You had to be totally isolated from the
ball. I think it's
similar
nationals anyway, but I don't know how it's. What they're doing in the UK.
Getting back to the green card, would you be more for it if there wasn't a substitute allowed?
I'm
not sure. Like, substituting, I don't quite see the benefit of that, to be honest with you.
I suppose, as Dave says, if they've made I think it was four subs you allowed in this tournament. If you've made your four subs already, then it becomes an issue for the team. But I believe it doesn't carry on to the next fixture, so there's not like a red card you beat then suspended. Your green cards are just wiped after that match.
I think the other thing I'd say is I think we are now at a point where probably 20 years ago the amateur game and the professional game wasn't that different. But now, obviously the amateur game, the professional game, rightly so, VAR is a big example. We're not going to have that at an amateur level.
No.
Things like the foam spray, I don't think we're going to have that at an amateur level. So you're probably going to end up, the laws of the game will always be the same, but you will end up with things that happen in the professional game that will never really feed down to the amateur game, which I don't think. I think that's just how it is. It's just.
I could just see Malou want to install goal line technology 2 years ago.
We've got goal line technology in the professional game. We're not going to, you're not going to say to clubs over here, right, lads, you all need to get the sensors in your posts and
the balls.
What I mean? It's just not.
We can't have Hattie VAR at every game. As you'd like to.
Josh Clark, I'm talking to Malou.
I have to be careful now because I'm on their game tomorrow.
He says, what are your opinions on whether the season should be played through in the summer instead of the winter?
I don't see it. Where TT, some of the clubs will lose. Old boy, I'm just thinking of it. Old boys, Union Mails, St John's, there's loads, aren't there?
Yeah.
People start playing other sports, cricket.
Golf, like I have been this week.
Holidays, I don't know what I mean. Maybe like you say, MEPS tonight will give more of an update. But yeah. I don't see that.
I think
we can. I just don't think.
I think we're governed by the FA. We have to stop by the 1st of June.
Mm.
From what I understand,
that day 1st of June.
That's from that date onwards. Oh, you can't play in the summer, and it's like, I think sometimes dispensation needs to be given when you've got problems like we have, where there's so many fixtures in the backlog.
But we're not unique. We follow the Northwest Counties League on Twitter, and they're in even worse state than we are, because they're playing in leagues that have 40 games a season. Their fixture back, I can't remember what they said. It's ridiculous.
My personal opinion is, as well, is, do we have too many cup games and too many cups, which doesn't help the situation? I personally think we do, but
what would you lose?
Exactly, that's a discussion. Another further discussion. What would you lose?
Railway Cup, Hospital Cup.
Well, we've already lost. Well, I won't say we've lost it, but the Railway Cup's going to be at the end of the season now instead of
probably June 1st at this rate.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably played at the same time as the Charity Shield at this rate.
The last game of cricket, 2017 cricket season, was played on Saturday. Just gone. It's not unique to football, is it?
New season starts in 2 weeks.
Season starts on Wednesday.
It's midweek. There you go.
T20 does anyway.
Josh also asked, in which team is the worst team for you to ref against? Now, I know this is a very loaded question, so
I've got a good answer to this, I think.
Mm.
Or I would say that they are not the worst team I have ever refereed, but there is one team on the island that whenever I do referee them, there's always an incident, whether it's sending off one of their players, I've given a penalty in the last minute against them, and I think for them, I've had a coach who had a bit of a go at me after the game, Ramsey Youth Centre.
Right.
So they're not the worst, but whenever I get a Ramsey Youth Centre,
it's always
game,
dramatic.
There's always, so I think there was a game where it was 1-1 in the last minute, and I think the guy, his name, I'm not great, Martin Murphy?
Yeah. I've sent Martin Murphy off this
last
season.
Last minute, he handled it on the line, so I sent him off, and the penalty, the goalie saved it, but was about 8 yards off the line, so I ordered a retake, and they scored, and then the game finished. So that just gives you an idea. So I'm sure it's the same for them when they see me turn. Oh, not him again. Funnily enough, I've not had them for a couple of seasons, but whenever I do a youth game...
I'll have a word with Kevin tonight.
Probably why James has got the agent machine, Morgan. You haven't.
I went to college with agent machine.
There you go. Legend. Get him to sign it for you.
My worst team, I'm not going to comment.
Right.
I'll give you the political answer, no comment.
I think, for me, most of the teams on the island, again, it comes back to what I said earlier about when I say to people, oh, I referee, they're like, oh, do you not get loads of grief and abuse? I'm like, on the whole, no.
It's
I think most of the lads, and I know quite a lot of the lads, whether it's through work, or we're all the same, through playing myself, I reckon on pretty much every team, there's someone that when I turn up, so like Russian, I know Aaron Hawley reasonably well. I know, obviously, because of Kevin, Alex. There'll be a few other guys. I know Josh is someone before the game I'll have a bit of a chat to when I'm warm, how you doing and whatever. So most teams, there'll be things in games that happen, but there's not one team that's kind of like...
No, I think it's individuals instead of
teams.
And
also when you get certain teams playing together.
Yeah.
So there'll be certain games where you will know, for whatever reason, this is going to be a tough game. Russian Malou tomorrow night.
Yeah. When I seen that fixture I got on the Junior League, Foxdale v Malou, and I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. It was more like hoofball instead of football. But
We've had a couple of tweets in from Hattie.
Legend
that is. Ask you both, what is the most or least memorable matches that you refereed?
I've got two for the least category.
Mm-hmm.
The least memorable, one of them is a women's game, I think it was first or second season I'd done. It's come back end of the season, silly season. It was Douglas High School All Boys v Jim's. Jim's had a full 11, full bench, a lot. And All Boys, I think, had just had 11, if not 10. And the score ended up 26-0.
Wow.
I was like, I felt so sorry for them. It was just kind of like,
just have to play it. And then the other one would be, I think it was Air last season. They're playing Corinthians. I was only on the line.
Mm.
I didn't move from the halfway line.
God.
Because Air couldn't get the ball past the halfway line. Mm. And it was just kind of like...
They had a tough year, didn't they? But it was tough.
James makes a good point there. I've done a couple of games. I think I did one last year or the year before. Peel Combi against maybe Air Combi. And Air was... I think they started with 9. Peel Combi at the time was very strong. I think at half-time it was something like 12-13-0. And as a referee, you kind of almost switch off a bit.
Mm. Yeah,
you know what I mean? And the risk you have there is that someone in Air's team is going to do something silly because they're that.
Yeah.
And they didn't, to be fair. Give Air their dues. They played out the rest of the game. And actually I think it ended up something like 22-1. And when Air scored their one goal, they celebrated like they won the World Cup. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
In terms of memorable for me, I've been lucky enough. I did the line for the FA Cup over here, FA Cup final, of years ago. It was Gareth Jones in the middle. Mm. Can't actually remember now who was playing.
God, that's going back a bit. What's his role now down at Russian? Is he manager?
Director of football, I think would be the technical term.
Just patrols around the
village, you can hear him wherever you are.
Yeah. Josh!
For me, I'm a level 5 ref, so I've still got to get to level 4. I think anytime I get, you know, what you would perceive to be a big game. So I've done some of St George's games, Corinthians, you know, the teams at the top of the Premier Division when you do, and to be fair, in the second division when you get teams at the top, you know, games that you know are going to be quiet. So this year I did, one of the best games I've ref this year was Malou v Morown. I didn't have any assistants, and it was actually a really good game of football. Both teams played very competitive, but played in a really good spirit.
Was it 4-3 or something
like that? Yeah, I think it was something like that. There was no real issue between the players. He got on and pretty much all of them at the end shook my hand. It was one of those games where when I drove home, I generally thought, you know what, I really enjoyed that today. That was a good game of football.
Yeah. I think you got a shout out on Manx Radio that night, if I remember correctly. For your performance. There you go.
There you go.
I think another one for the category of worst is we won this season was Mills v Onken Combi. It was just tackles flying in left, right, and centre. Mickey Gilmore.
I always wonder whether that's due to your referee.
You seem to have lots of.
Yeah.
I have a good one, eh? Manx Radio.
Why are you referee?
Stress. Most memorable would actually be one in Paris. It was semi-final of a women's game, open women's game, and it was goalless, and we were literally into injury time, and it was like thunder and lightning storm was happening in the background. It was muggy, it was raining the lot. I actually really enjoyed it. I had guys, one guy from London, one guy from Surrey in my team. When I immediately seen the appointment, I went, that's going to be a feisty game.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do it? They immediately took a step back and said, no, if you want to do it, crack on.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, fine. So I did it. I think I had 2 sending offs for swearing.
In French.
Well, this is the funny thing.
He speaks a number of languages.
Well, yeah, just. The guy who was my first line speaks fluent French. He's actually, Patrick's now doing French and Russian law at Cambridge, I think.
Wow.
So he can speak fluent French.
Yeah, yeah.
And he flagged me over for one of them and said, you might just want to send her off. Why? They said X, Y, Z. I can't exactly repeat what they said. They're kind of like, right, okay. Bang, yeah. Pointed at them straight off because I couldn't speak French, and you had to signal with your hands what was happening. But I think last 30 seconds in that, they scored a goal. There was a goal scored, and it was kind of like it was well deserved, to be honest, because it just been pinged about all game. But in that tournament, you didn't have extra time, it just went straight to penalties.
Yeah.
And I hate penalty shooting.
Well, mostly he's probably sat filming them, wasn't he?
Yeah. He's also tweeted in. Do you think that the English FA directive respect has worked?
My answer to that would be, I think the initial respect campaign, yes, definitely worked.
So what was that, 2000?
It's a while ago.
It's 12?
Yeah, because it started just before I started.
It's something that, well, firstly I'd say it's a two-way thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think referees, I think again, I can only speak personally, we need to respect the players. So when I talk to the players, I talk to them as I would expect them to talk to me. So I always say, especially when I referee on my own, I have a little routine. So I have no assistant. So I'll go, as the warming up, I'll go over to them and say, I want to check your kit, I want to check your boots, check your jewellery. and I want to have a quick word with you lads. And I'll say, listen, I'm on my own, so offsides and throw-ins, you're going to have to go with me.
Yeah.
I don't expect any foul language, but you can come and talk to me, and you'll see as the game goes on, if you want to, you know, if I give a decision, and the captain in particular wants to come and ask me why I'm giving that, I'll tell him. And then I expect them then to say, okay, I've told you, but then go away and we'll get on with the game. So I think respect is a two-way thing, but I think it's kind of, I wouldn't say forgotten about, but it's like the six-second rule with the goalie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's now kind of like, it's just, it was, it is a law, but
it was a lot of 30 seconds.
It almost needs refreshing.
Six seconds again if the team are trying to hold the lead.
Yeah, when was the last time a ref gave a,
No.
So I think the respect thing is something that it will always need to just continually be worked on. I don't think you'll ever get to a point where you say, all right, we've cracked that, because you know what I was saying before about social media, and it's not, and it's two way. I know when I played, there were games where we would have an official where I or a player would ask quite a civil question and you just get, go away.
Yeah.
Well, that's
not,
there's got to be a middle ground.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't go.
I think sometimes, I agree with what Paige's just said, but there are times when players will come up and ask you a question intentionally to, I think, distract you while there's something happening. And I'll just say, come back when ball's out of play.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that, Jay.
A lot of
I'm giving it, my example there is, say I've given, I don't know, a free kick on the edge of the box and the captain's come up and said, what on earth have you given that for? And I'll say, I'll quite happily tell him, well, my view I had, 10 yards away, your centre half, number 6, has caught the back of number 10, didn't get the ball, got the man first.
Yeah.
And most times, oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, going back to Sunday's game, I was in the middle and There was a tackle in the box. I couldn't see the actual full-on infringement. I, in my head, was kind of like, is it a penalty, is it not?
Mm.
I was a bit 50-50. And then Peter Baton was the assistant on that side. And he started flagging. So I blew up.
That's Peter.
So I went over and I just went, right. He was flagging. I said, what have you seen? He says he's caught the player before he's played the ball. I went, fine, simple as.
That's teamwork, isn't it? What you're saying, that's the good thing about the technology, without sounding like a dinosaur before, the technology's great. So one of the things where you've got, I think where you work as a team of three on a game, if an assistant gives a penalty, that's quite a big call.
With
the technology, you can do it in a way that actually...
It's
about selling decisions. I don't like using that, but... Rather than then all the outfield players rushing over to the assistant and going, what on earth have you given that for? The ref didn't... Cause straight away the player's like, you're the ref, you haven't given it. Why have you let him give it? Where if I was the assistant, I could just say, James, penalty, handball, 100%. And James knows straight away I give it and he can say it's handball.
Yeah.
The player's like, they don't even know it's me on the assist, on the line that's done it.
Yeah,
but that's funny though, isn't it? Because I've been at games, and you probably as well, that where spectators berate the assistant... But not doing anything.
That happened down to me. It was Colby. I think they were playing Russian. I ended up on the line, and we had the comms kit because Simon Walser was in the middle and Matty Shaw was on the other line, and Meps was behind me, and he's just kind of like, "Are you giving a full commentary on this?" Because different people use it in different ways. Some say dead quiet only when something happens. Some say just give me running commentary of what's happening in your third or half or whatever. And I tend to just give a quick call, right, this is happening, no, handball, penalty, it's however you want to use it.
I think the best for me as an assistant is where you've got, I won't say who, but you've got the benches behind you and the referee's giving decisions and they're saying to you, what's he giving that for? And I'm like,
hello.
He's a lot nearer the, he's clearly seen it, just, you know, get back on your bench.
No, it's when you don't want the assistant at that point to go, oh, I wouldn't have given that. Yeah.
He's one of our worst.
How you finish this off when he asks, what are the quality skills you require to succeed in refereeing in mixed football?
I think it's been thick-skinned. I think that's it, footballing anywhere. But I think the problem and...
confidence as well.
I think the uniqueness you have of, like, say, I think you might know better from the Channel Islands, but here, Guernsey, Jersey, is everyone knows everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's probably friends with people when they went to school and stuff like that. So it's like... After Tuesday's game, it wasn't my game, but old boys Braddon,
I seen Facebook message comments, and I actually got a Snapchat message of someone saying, "Oh, refereeing standards on the Isle of Man have dropped," and I'm kind of like, "That's just your opinion. Yeah. His opinion of what he's seen is totally different." Yeah. It's a case of,
I think
everyone, you've got to be thick-skinned and just take things on the chin. Where if you turn up to a game in the UK, you might not have that team for another 18 months.
No. I'm not. I don't want to. I was going to say not take it too seriously, but just enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, there's no point in doing it. And it's funny what James says. I had a situation where I think in all the time I've been refereeing, I've sent three players off, I'll probably get slaughtered for that. But
I've sent about three off this season.
And one of the lads who I sent off, I've never seen him before the game. But literally on the Monday after, in town, minding my own business in M&S, waiting to get a sandwich from a lunch, who's next to me? I'm like, alright. Yeah. I just think thick skinned, bit of personality, kind of.
I think the
enjoy
the,
it.
I think the referee with the most personality is Willie Cowley.
Yeah.
The legend that is.
I've told the story before, I've told it again. He stroked my face once when I went to get a team sheet off him at Jim's. I don't remember much of the game after that.
Am I allowed to tell a very quick Willie Cowley story? When I was clinging on to my playing career, I played on and off a couple of seasons for the Mills Vets.
Yeah.
And in one of our games, Willie was reffing, and one of the lads, Aki, who went on to manage.
Neil, he's no manager at Mills now.
Mills, yeah, he is actually, isn't he? Yeah. He was playing, and he did a tackle. We were playing Braddon, and he did a tackle that, as a ref, I was playing. It wasn't deliberate. It wasn't a red, but I was like, yeah, it's probably a yellow.
Yeah.
The lad went down. He was in quite a bit of pain. Everyone was like, and there was no one was falling out with everyone. Yeah. Straight away, I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, I was just late. Anyway, Willie runs over and he pulls out a bit of a Kellogg cereal box. And on the front of it, he'd sellotaped a picture of Hannibal Lecter.
Yes.
And he put it in front of him and went, "I'm watching you, I'm watching you." So I was like, "Willie, what's that?" He said, "Well, it's kind of like my warning, but the warning before I go for yellow." I was like, oh,
so we're going to get rid of, we're not going to introduce the green card. We're going to introduce
Hannibal Lecter. That is brilliant.
I have to say that still exists. I think he did bring it out on Tuesday night, but I think it was still in his box.
Willie Cowley, ahead of the curve as always.
Yeah, you know what? It's guys like Willie, Peter Lewis.
Yeah,
you know, that guys who, I guess we can't. We do. You look up to them because they're all the refs. Willie was reffing. Peter was certainly reffing when I was playing. Just trying to think who else, Tommy Crowe probably refed me.
Tony Detash, I know he's not reffing anymore.
Yeah, he would have refed me. There's a few, because when I started reffing, the first society meeting I went to, I was a little bit, which of these have I like abused?
I don't have that because I can't play football to save my life.
Some would say I couldn't either, going back to Foxy's question. But I think to qualities and skills to succeed in Manx football, I think, just have a smile on your face, turn up at the ground, be positive,
and
don't take it to heart.
Some major cards you've made at home.
Cereal box. What more do you need?
Right, well, we've got you in. It'd be remiss of us not to look ahead to the weekend's fixtures. It's a big weekend in the League and Cup, Dave.
It is. Yeah, quarterfinals of the Aussie and the Junior Cup.
Wonderfully named Keystone Law Hospital Cup quarterfinals. We'll kick off with the game I'm going to, the one I think there's potential for a cup set. And that's Douglas Athletic versus Moran. Premier League, Douglas Athletic taking on promotion chases Moran from Division 2.
Yeah, well, obviously Moran had a bad result in the week, didn't they? They lost to Union Mills, that will have been a bit of a setback for their confidence. But Dafko are doing okay under Craig Purvis. They're sort of going about their business. They're safe in the Premier League now. Mm-hmm. So I think this one could be quite close.
Lads, have you reffed either of these two?
I haven't, but I would say Moran. I'm putting my foot in the camp of Moran, but it's going to be a close game.
I've done games for both of them this year. I think Moran, again, are a team with a few good young lads, a few older heads.
Mm.
I think that'll be a tough game for Douglas Athletic. I don't know. Do we have replays in this?
No,
I could see that going to extra time.
I wouldn't make any plans. You might have extra time, sorry. But I think extra time is a distinct possibility.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll throw a couple of stats into the mix. Moran have only failed to score in one match this season they've played in, and that was against Douglaston District, so Dave Matheson will be able to moan about that one. Conversely, Douglas Athletic's defence have only kept three clean sheets, so if I was on the old request to bet on Twitter, I'd seen both teams to score in this one, I would say.
You'd guarantee they're 0-0.
Yeah, probably. The 14th in our Manx football history, probably. Because I've certainly been about two. So I'm going from around, Dave.
I think Daphne will probably just about do it, I think.
The Pinks?
Yeah.
St John's versus St George's is one of the other quarterfinal sides. This one, now, having watched George's dismantle Peel last week, to be fair, Peel did shoot both feet off at some points in the first half, but yeah, it was a fairly high, a polished performance from St George's. St John's, they seem to be having a bit of a run in the cup this year. They went to the FA Cup semi-finals, didn't they? They'll be relishing a home game at Mulney Cloyne.
Obviously, they go into this on the back of a huge result midweek.
Yes,
Hammond Peel 5-1.
It's been a bad week for Peel.
Yeah, Paul Whitehead got a hat trick. We have to remember the previous game in the league between these two. St John's were winning it 3-1 with the last 10 minutes to go. Geordie's snuck a draw. Yeah. So I think this one could be another close game, but I fancy Geordie's to...
Paul Whitehead, of course, one of the players that took advantage of the new transfer rules and it, and started the season at Peel and switched mid-season to St John's. So there you go.
I think the thing I was on the line for that, as I said, the St John's Peel game, and a bit like the Peel Geordie's game, Peel definitely helped defensively St John's. Mm. But I think if St John's are going to... St George's must be favourites. I think we're pretty much full strength, aren't they? I think St John's have got pace. I think if there is... If you can get at St George's, maybe you know some of the lads are getting on a little bit. They've got real out and out pace St John's up front. So, but you'd have to say St George's. And I think my view on St George's is the games I've been involved with them where they've been close. The last 20 minutes, their fitness kicks in.
Yeah.
And it can be a close game. And actually, 20 minutes they'll get four goals in it because they don't go out on Friday nights. They I don't know what their training regime. But
I think it's three nights a week.
The suggestion is that you know. Do you know what I mean? They're quite. They're disciplined, aren't they?
It's just to keep going.
So I'd say St George's on that.
I probably would as well if they played the way they did on Tuesday, because I was on, as I said, as a game, Colby St George's. They're much better. They had a couple of young lads out on Tuesday.
Joe Quayle.
Joel Ibanez, he played fullback last week. I think they'll just nick it.
Yeah.
It'll be close, but I think they'll nick it.
Yeah, I think maybe a 4-2 for me.
I'm not going that wide, but...
Dave?
Comfortable Geordie's win.
Ooh! Comfortable. You won't be welcoming Lighty this weekend, then. Malou Rushing, obviously, you know, Anthony, you're in the game you're at.
I'm on the line, so I probably should not make any comments. If I pick one team to win, and then it's my decision to give a penalty for them to win at the last minute, it might as well...
You can bow out of this one.
I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's a
derby game as well.
Yeah, it's a derby. They probably don't play each other that often.
No,
pitch might be a bit of a leveler. I don't know what it's like down there at the moment.
Well, I think I might have been the last person to referee on it, and it was cut up and a little bit boggy and soft, but it's all right. I think it's rushing all the way.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you.
If Malou might get one or two, but I think it's going to be. Quite a high score for Rushing.
Yeah, a comfortable win for Rushing here, but Malou go into it on the back of a decent result against Pulley. It was a draw in the end, that one, which is a good result. So, yeah, they'll be confident, but I think Rushing will.
Well, we've seen Dean Kinley has been playing goal, I think, against Paul Rose, didn't he?
So he played in goal at Ayr as well.
They're obviously a bit short for James. I don't know where James Brown is at the moment.
Sure.
But if Dean is up front, he could maybe pose some problems with the Rushing defence. But as you say, Liam Cowan seems to have got the Spaniards firing, although they toiled to a bit of a 2-0 win over Colby. I think Artie said they should have been a lot more, shouldn't it?
I wonder whether it's maybe a bit of complacency. Maybe I don't know whether they just expected it to be more comfortable than it was. But credit to Colby.
You look at Rushing's team, they've got, you know, particularly up front, you know, the lads they've got up front, they've got a very good strike force.
In media parlance, it's an embarrassment of riches.
If they're missing players out of the first team, they've got.
It's a really strong combi.
So exactly. That's what's helped me eager on Rushing.
I think you're probably right. Rushing should make it safely through to the semi-finals.
Yeah.
The other quarter-final is an all-Premier League affair. See St Mary's welcome Corinthians, FA Cup winners Corinthians. I should put that in now, shouldn't I? To the bowl. Now this one, I don't know. It should be Corinthians, shouldn't it? On form and current and all that. But yeah. St Mary's have got a result in them, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen where Corinthians have had a couple of hiccups.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one week. It was a week midweek fixture. My game was called off down at Braddon. Me, John McCallum, and Peter Kane went and watched Corinthians play Roshan, and it was like, if Corinthians turned up to this.
Yeah.
I think, but that was the Tuesday before the cup final, and from what they were saying, they were just injured, just scared of getting injured, I could understand that. But.
Well, St Mary's held Corinthians to a 3-0 draw, I think, didn't they, earlier in the season? I think Corinthians were 3-0 up at half time, and St Mary's came back well, so, you know, St Mary's got it in their locker to get a result out of this one.
I'm a Corinthians junior coach, I'm going to have to go Corinthians. I'll get slaughtered if I
James?
Yeah. I don't know, I think. Could there be an upset here?
Have St Mary's got pretty much, they've got Steve Priest and all of them. Well, like all fit
arguably one of the players of the season. So he's firing on all cylinders. Brian Creller seems to have bagged a couple of goals last week. He seems to be finding his feet again, pulling the strings in midfield. So
they've got some good players, St Mary's. Yeah.
Alex Harrison, you mentioned before, player manager, revelling in the player manager.
Carl Clark as well.
They've got
the core of the spine of a decent team.
Yeah. James's hunch could be right here. I think
Mary's might nick it. I think we could go to extra time.
Yeah.
If it goes to extra time, I think Corinthians might get it then.
Yeah. Fitness.
Yeah. I think it's a bit close, but I reckon Corinthians will just get it.
Okay. There is three games in the Premier League on Saturday. Starting there's a massive... Are we going to call this a 12-point today?
Yeah, why not? Go for it.
Braddon versus Ramsey. This is really arguably a shootout for who's going to stay in the Premier League next season. Yeah.
It is. You know, they're both staring down the barrel of relegation, and neither side are going to want to draw in this one. So it's going to be quite an edgy match, I think.
Yeah.
We've got Eric going on to cover this one, haven't we?
Yeah, this one, Ramsey are bottom at the moment, Braddon second bottom. Braddon... again, I don't think they've got a point since October, have they?
No, they fought hard against Old Boys the other night. They were 1-0 up in that game, I think, at half-time. Obviously, Robbie Ward and Quirky got the goals in the second half. So, yeah, another pointless game for them. But, you know, they've got it in them to get the 3 points here, I think. But Ramsey, I don't know, they look like they might just pull off the great escape, don't they?
Yeah.
The only thing I'd say about that game, I was on the line for Braddon Old Boys in the Cup. I'd be interested to know what Braddon's pitch is like, because when that game finished, was that two Saturdays ago?
Yeah.
I mean, the poor groundsman was almost in tears. It was horrific. You know, it was kind of, if the pitch was like how it was at the end at the start, we probably wouldn't have even started the game. It cut up so badly. To be fair, Braddon, on that game, I've not done a Ramsey game this year. I would tip Braddon on that one, I think. If
James?
Postponement. I don't know, to be honest.
It's a massive game.
A massive game.
Because we'll talk about Colby there, obviously playing Pielitzel there, last game of the league.
Colby have done well to get there. I think that Braddon Ramsey one, draw possibly, if not Ramsey. But
Colby Peel, I mean... Is it
a week ago?
Yeah.
This time last week, you would have said this would be a cricket score.
Exactly. Yes. But
now Peel seems to be having this
capitulation
wobble at the end of the season.
Colby will well against Russia. Yeah. They?
I mean, Colby get anything out of this? Suddenly, the pressure's back on Braddon and Royal and Ramsey.
I did the reverse of this fixture about 2-3 weeks ago, so it shows you how the fixtures have lined up at the minute.
Yeah.
If Peel's first team's as bad as it is at the moment, from what we've been hearing, I think Colby have got a good strong chance of winning that.
Or it could go the other way, couldn't it? And Falky lays into them, gives them a bit of a rocket, and they come out all guns blazing with a point to prove. And he might bring a few lads up from the combi and change things around. You don't know, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think Peel will win, but I don't think it'll be a landslide as perhaps.
Yeah. What was it? A few weeks ago, was it 8-9-0 or something?
I think it was 8, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. I don't think. I'm just trying to think.
But
I think Colby will get it there.
Yeah, there you go. Heard it here first.
There you go.
I think Peel have got some.
Hey,
They've got some decent players. Peel. I'm not saying Colby haven't, but I think if Peel can get the ball down and play the football, and they've got Gaylor, who even against St John's, he's such a threat. His pace and Sean Kelly with his throw in.
And his left foot and his muscle and his height, you know. As we said, target men properly in vogue again this year. Yeah. Division 2 is... Laxey Old Boys. Apologies to all Laxey Old Boys fans listening. That one... Dead rubber to me.
I was going
to
say, is there anything on that?
Just Laxey getting some much needed game time, really.
It is. Yeah. So they lost 7-0 to Corinthians the other night.
Yeah. I'd go Old Boys on that.
I'm going Old Boys as well, to be honest.
Only on the basis that I've seen more of Old Boys this year, and again, I think they've got.
Well, they're struggling with players. I was on the line for Brad and Old Boys, and they were struggling.
I would.
They had Tommy Miller and. I've forgotten who the coach is.
Wayne Kennedy.
Yeah, he was. They're both on the bench for that. Well,
Tommy's been, to be fair, he's been starting most first two. He's sent back this week.
Tommy came on as a sub. He had an injury.
But to me, Old Boys one of those teams where whenever I look at their team sheet, I'm thinking that's a really good team. You know, they've got
Quirk.
Who's the lad in goal?
Sam Holliday.
Yeah. Then they've got Macca, who was at Geordies. They've got Tom Weir, who was at Geordies.
Yeah.
They've got obviously Callum up front. They've got.
Hutchie.
Gary
Quirk.
Gary Quirk's got a lovely left foot on him. They've got lads at the back who are pretty steady.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They just
doesn't quite click.
Yeah. But you know, you look at it and you think that's a good team. Yeah.
Old Boys, I would say though, we'll probably have an eye on Saturday's Junior Cup quarter final. Sunday's Junior Cup quarter final. There has been some. Shall we say strange selection? Well, not strange, but
strategic.
In recent weeks, I saw Callum Stewart was playing for the Conby. He scored in the week, didn't he? Old Boys Conby. They won
5-1 against Elgin.
You
know, they've got a good strength and depth on that side, so yeah, you just sort of don't know how it'll.
So, Old Boys maybe favour that over Saturday's Premier League game. Okay. As we said, there's nothing really on it in terms of league. Position. Maybe some finally some joy in 2018 for Laxey, because it's not been the best of years for them so far, has it? Right, Division 2, 4 games in that on Saturday. Again, this one's all over the chippy after the midweek results.
It certainly is. The game that I'll hopefully be going to, Castletown v Pulley, takes on extra significance now after they both dropped points in the week.
Mm.
And obviously Castletown also dropped points last weekend. Mm. So they're faltering a little bit at the wrong time of the season. So this one could be quite a nervy game. I think they are 3 points ahead of Pulley, but they've played a game more. So,
yeah
it's tight right up at the top there.
Well, we look at it, we've got the Division 2 table in front of us there. There is only a handful of points between the top sort of five, isn't there? Six. If you look at Moran as well, they could come back into it.
Yeah, they've got the games in hand. Well, obviously, they lost that game to Mills in midweek, which was a big blow for them.
4-2, despite Mills having a man sent off, I think.
Yeah, Luke Booth got two.
Yeah.
And Cal Ewing got the other two as well. So, I think this is going to be a close one, but I reckon Castletown will just edge it.
I'm going for a draw.
Yeah. I'm going with you there.
Mm. I'm going Paul Rose.
Mm. Have you said Division 2 has been a great season this year?
I think it's been better than the Premier League.
I totally agree with you.
It's actually good quality football. Mm. I mean, you've got, I think it's the lack of fixtures in the Premier League where the Division 2 lads are like, oh, let's just get on with it, let's play. Because they can see the competitiveness within the league.
Mm.
It's not a case of, oh, let's protect the pitch or.
Mm.
We're not fighting for much or anything like that. Where Division 2, it's one game, you could drop 2-3 places in the league. So
exactly.
I Cast Temple Rose draw.
Go for the draw. And
I'm saying Paul Rose. I think I've done two. I've been involved with two. I've not done Castletown this year, but I've done two Paul Rose games, one middle I think at Michael where they try. I mean, Michael's pitch isn't the best at the best of times. They try to play football, and I was on the line in the cup down at St John's under the floodlights, and they gave St John's a real game. They got obviously Glover up front, who's good. Barry English, they've got a couple of young lads at the back.
James McGinn in goal, because I did Paul Rose Foxdale in the hospital cup.
He pulled off some cracking saves as well. Metz was down there watching.
Stu Marsh,
still there, yeah.
There's those.
I don't know his name, but it was. I'm sure the lads at Paul Rose will know. I think he was a ginger-haired young lad.
Owen Quayle.
Yeah, he's good.
He's very good.
Big Liverpool fan as well.
Even better.
But yeah, no, I think this will be a good game. But I just think it'll be a draw, and that's probably going to keep everyone nice and tight again for another week, isn't it?
Yeah, and it'll play into Foxdale's hands, who are right back in the mix now, really, aren't they?
Yeah, Foxdale. You'd expect to take 3 points on Saturday as they travel to the gyms.
Yeah.
Tony Sewell, we saw by a tweet this week, wasn't overly happy with the performance from his team last week, was he?
No, he certainly wasn't. But I don't know what the pitch is going to be like down in Tramode, but fingers crossed.
No, it's not as bad as what it used to be.
They've done a lot of work.
It's a sultry 14 degrees out there today, so I'm sure there might even be a hose pipe bound by the time. Jim's Foxdale, I think we're all in agreement, away win with that one.
Foxdale.
United Union Mills, of course, as you said earlier, off the back of a great 4-2 win over Rennes in the midweek. Will Miller referred to that as a derby win.
Yeah, it's an impressive result, and I think for Mills, it's important for them to end the season on a high. We have obviously talked about this a few times recently, but to get that momentum to take into next season, because there's not really much for them to play for now other than that. I think they'll obviously start as favourites in this. Ayr have only had 4 wins all season, so...
Yeah. Mills win there for me.
Clearly Union Mills are probably the greatest football club on the Isle of Man. So I'm going to go for Union Mills.
Sleeping Giants of Manx football.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Final game of Division 2 takes place at Bemmerhague. Sees Governors Athletic welcome Youthy to the AstroTurf up there. Bemmerhague, lads, I seem to have, this is one of my favourite questions. It's a bit of an odd surface, that, isn't it?
It's 3G. It's
but not in the same 3G as at the bowl, is it?
No, I can't remember. Is it 3G or 4G? Yeah. There is a difference. Yeah.
The thing I think about the bet, and I know it's I'm wrong, is that it doesn't feel like a full size pitch.
Yeah, I think it's because
it's not. It feels small.
You feel as though you're playing on not a kid's pitch, but yeah. I've done one Governors Athletic game this year. And I felt feels almost a bit claustrophobic.
Yeah, because you've got the cage around.
It's a bit, I don't know.
Windy there, you get blown into the fences. So.
It's not too bad up there. I mean, they finally got corner flags.
Because that
never used to happen. And then I did a game about a month ago and some corner flags appeared. I was like, wow. Okay.
There you go.
Just to prove that they aren't my worst team, I'm going to tip Ramp
I'm going with Rycop there as well.
I think we will go for Rycop. After such a tremendous start to the season, it has been a bit of a second half of the season to forget. But
they got that draw against Castletown last week, which is
So if they take 3 points, they're still off the Paul Henry pace. Unfortunately, they're gonna sort of finish probably in fifth. We're all gonna go for Youthy winning that one.
Yep.
Right, we have finished with Dave Comey Corner.
Yeah. Okay. With all the Junior Cup action happening at the moment, it's obviously been a bit quiet on the league front. Russian, they took another step towards the title though, thanks to a 4-2 win at Douglas Royal. Tommy Doherty netted twice and was joined on the score sheet by Kyle Lund and Jack Saxon, making a run out for the combi there. The Spaniards are now 7 points clear of Old Boys after 22 games, but Old Boys do have 2 games in hand, so it looks set to still go down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere, Wednesday evening, third place Corinthians edged to a 3-2 win at St John's. Jordan Caron bagged a hat-trick for the Whites. Goals from Nick Ford and Mark Neen got the consolations for the Saints. So they remain 12 points clear of Geordies, but Geordies have 4 games in hand. They eased past neighbours Braddon 4-0 at Clay Crabtree Road. Mailey Freestone and Tom Chattel scored. Also, Johnny Myers grabbed a brace. Now, apparently one of these, and it might have come from a tweet from him, I can't confirm that. It was one of which was apparently an overhead screamer from the edge of the box, but I'm still waiting for
confirmation.
Independent video evidence to verify it.
So. Happy vision.
Yeah. The other game in Combi 1 saw Mikey Callister steal a show with a hat-trick to help Douglas Athletic beat Laxey 3-0 at Glen Road.
Mm.
And quickly in Combi 2, there was also a hat-trick in Crosby where Moran thumped Pulley 6-0. Julian Killip, still going, claimed the match ball and was joined on the score sheet by Paul Timpson for 2 and Phil Jones, not that one.
Yeah.
And the other game saw Kai Stevenson's brace help Union Mills claim a 3-2 win at Jim's. Carl Dobbin was the other goal scorer there.
Carl Dobbin. So Sunday as well, just quickly mention, it's the Junior Cup quarterfinals on Sunday. Old Boys Corinthians, St George's Douglas Athletic, Russian Douglas Royal and Laxey Paul Rose. Russian favourites to do doubles, do we think, lads?
I think so.
Old Boys, of course, will be another team. You think, well, Corinthians won't be. Corinthians won't be an easy quarterfinal.
I was going to say, the interesting thing with the Junior Cup, and I know this from when I played at the Mill, you never quite know what quite know what team's going to come out, do you?
Yeah.
On the face of it, I would go Laxey, Russian, Corinthians, Geordies. Mm, but yeah, who's to say half of Old Boys, what you might think, might be first team turn out on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'd go slightly different. Paul Rose, Russian, Corinthians, St George's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Laxey Pulley one's a funny one. As I mentioned before, Laxey is struggling for players, so I don't know whether they've got an 11 for that one.
I know the Pulley, I think, have been struggling.
Yeah, so
it's a side.
It's a shame. Five a side. Yeah. At the NSC, that one.
Well, no, as long as you've got seven players, you can play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Russian beat Royal in the week, so you know, they'll be confident getting another win there.
Yeah.
Old Boys, I think Old Boys will just sneak that one. Jordy should get the better of Douglas Athletic, I think.
And Dave, what's the weather? Dave reads the weather. Could it be for the weekend?
I'm glad you didn't build it up this time.
I'm going to go Scotchio!
Yep, it's sunny in most places. There is a bit of fog lingering in coastal areas today and tomorrow. There is a bit of chance of a bit of rain developing in the evening, so hopefully you will avoid most of the matches tomorrow. There is a chance of rain on Sunday morning, but hopefully it'll clear in time for the afternoon's games.
Great stuff. Right, before we go, just a bit of any other business. As you've seen, lads, Ellen Bannon faced the Punjab for FA in Sandbach on Sunday, April 29th. It's excellent Sunday. So if you're in Cheshire, get yourself down to Sandbach United.
I'll have a discussion with Scott, see what time we're refereeing, if we can.
Oh, yeah, that's
we might have to arrange a car now, but I think we...
Cheshire, yeah, so it won't be too far of a stretch for you.
I might get a last-minute call up, sit on the bench for a while. That is pushing.
Yeah. Anthony, Corinthians, of course, your club, I'm going to say. They can win the Women's League on Sunday.
Just to be clear, my second club here.
After Mills.
I'm a Miller through and through, but yeah, Corinthians.
I thought there'd be a third club after Liverpool.
No. Corinthians, brilliant. I have to say, my little lad goes there, and the junior football setup is brilliant. Steve Corrin in particular does a huge amount of work, so I'll just give him a bit of a mention.
Yeah,
but yeah, brilliant if the women win on Sunday.
They win on Sunday, their nearest rivals appeal. If they beat them, they collect the women's title.
Yeah, and it's a nice warm-up for the following week, which is the cup final, I believe. So, women's FA Cup final. So
we'll have to maybe get some ladies in next week then.
I think so.
Another sort of thing affecting you guys, Kevin Maitland has been the worst kept secret in Manx football. He's finally been officially appointed as a football service officer at the FA. I can't think of a better man, really.
No, I can't. I mean, I put in for it. I know a couple of other lads, refereeing lads, put in for it. And when we heard Kevin got it, we were just kind of like, all right, fine, we're not going to argue.
Yeah.
We had no qualms that Kevin had got it, and it's just a great appointment.
After Neshko, the happiest man in Manx football, Kevin?
I don't know.
There's a number of fixtures that are being.
I think on a Saturday morning between 9 o'clock and 1 o'clock, I don't know how he has any hair left.
He's a great, great guy.
He is. He put so much hard work in behind the scenes.
That should hopefully get me a good appointment on next week.
Next weekend, we're not here, mate. Oh,
yeah, I've got a good appointment next week. Yeah. Finally, Cal Cup has now begun. To see that started on Thursday night. Laxey looking my tip for to retain the title for me.
Yeah, looking a good bet, aren't they? They've got a lot of talented players there, Glen Road.
Yeah, so... Right, lads, thanks for coming in. I hope that wasn't too painful.
No, not at all.
All the best for the trip to Merseyside and for the rest of the season. Well,
thank you very much.
We'll probably hopefully be finished by next September anyway.
Yeah, hopefully.
Remember, you can listen to all the Coniston Bank Manx Footy pods at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football, as well as on iTunes, Dave.
Well said.
Until next week.
It's all for now.